Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
The very same thing that Satan did in heaven that caused war and got him thrown out is exactly what he baited Eve with that caused war in the garden and got them thrown out.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Just as the team here, we're grateful to be a part of this week. We are expecting great things from God because our God can do nothing naturally. Aren't you glad you serve a God that can only operate supernaturally? Right? No other option with Him. Somebody said, there's nothing God can't do. That's not true. There are things our God cannot do. He cannot operate naturally. He cannot lie. He cannot sin. He cannot fail. So we do serve that kind of God. Everybody, Kelly Wright, give him a hand clap. I want you to know a couple of things about this message tonight. Before we try to attempt this, I feel like it's very necessary. I feel like it's right on time. I feel like it's what God wants, and I feel very unprepared right now to give it. Don't get scared. That usually just means God's going to move me out of the way quickly so I don't mess this moment up. I want to spend some time tonight discussing a subject that we don't talk about enough in the church. We don't talk about enough among one another. I want us to deal around the area of spiritual warfare. A lot of times we don't address this subject because, well, for a lot of reasons, and I think one of the big reasons is we don't feel comfortable with what we think we know and don't know about it. But I believe because of perhaps in the modern day church of America, our ignorance when it comes to the reality of the spiritual war that is being raged around us at any given time and most of the time, because we do come to a place of falling very short of it, it leads us to a couple of different end results. We don't talk about it enough, we don't teach it enough, we don't disciple about it enough, and it gives the enemy a great leeway to whoop us all over the place. I think this is a timely message for this body right here, because if you are truly desiring to seek the Lord to move you guys into the community, like I know that's on some of your hearts, you better believe the resistance is already coming against you. That the enemy desires to stop you short before you take the message of freedom outside these doors. And how is he going to go about that? That's exactly what I want us to talk about tonight. I've entitled this message, This is War. This is war. It's not only a timely message for First Baptist Genoa, it's a timely message for Truth Infusion Ministries. God put on my heart at the beginning of 2019, and we've spoken about it as a ministry a few times, and it's kind of like this. Get ready. Get ready. Watch. Be vigilant. Be sober-minded. It's coming. What's coming? What do I do with it when it comes? Where do I go with it from here? I want to talk about it tonight. This is war. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, if you're a child of God tonight, this applies to you. Well, David, I don't feel like I'm in any war. Okay. I'm just going to blow that right out of the water here in just a second. Very quickly. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, please. If you belong to Jesus Christ, my friend, you are at war, whether you realize it or not. And I'm going to show you that on the third word of verse 3. It says, for though we are you in the we tonight? Are you one of the we's? Who are the we's? Paul is addressing the church in Corinth. If you belong to him and you're one of the we, you don't get excluded from these verses. Here we go. Verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Everyone included in the we, you are at war. Spiritual war. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Now here's the next point I want to make. Everyone that is fighting spiritual war with carnal weapons, you are losing. Go back to verse 3 for me again. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. What is this talking about? You're a human. I'm a human. You're living, you're breathing, your heart's beating. You're operating in this world the way God's called you to, with your flesh on the outside. Pinch yourself, pinch your neighbor on the arm. If you've got anything between your fingers, that's flesh. All right? You're alive, you're a human being. And we know. But just because we are that does not mean that we can battle that way. Because verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not fleshly weapons. We're going to talk about it in a second. But they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. What is that? We're going to talk about it in a second. Verse 5. Casting down arguments. Speaking of these strongholds, Paul says that our weapons will cast down arguments. Those are the campaigns of thought that you are building to try to operate in this world. Casting down arguments, mindsets, the way that you think. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, against His truth. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Just keep your Bible open up to that passage. I want to pray, and then we'll see what the Lord will do with us tonight. This is war. Heavenly Father, God, you know where I am in this moment right now, and you know how important this is. So, God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would pick me up and you would just set me in the safety zone tonight. Just put me on autopilot, you take over. Heavenly Father, that you would send the one that makes preaching easy. That you would send the one that makes teaching easy. The Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth. God, I pray that you would bind the work of the enemy from this place. The distraction would be gone in Jesus' name. That you would tie us to your word right now. And that wherever we are in the process of the concept of warfare, as individual people and as homes and as ministries, God, that you would bring us to where you are. Show us what you would have us know. In Jesus' name, amen. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. First thing I want us to do is talk about these strongholds. Vastly important concept for every believer to understand tonight. In Paul's day, a stronghold in the physical world was a military tower. Okay, a rock tower of some sort. I have a picture of what it looks like in my mind. I don't know if I'm right or not, but it's a rock tower that gives high ground. And they would be able to house prisoners inside, and they would be able to take the high ground on top of that fortress, that stronghold, and they would be safe from the attacks of the enemy inside the stronghold, and they would be able to wage warfare from that vantage point down onto the enemy from the stronghold. So the stronghold was a fortress, a military tower in the physical world. That's what he's referring to, but he's making a spiritual application that I want you to understand tonight. A stronghold in your life is evidence that you are in a spiritual war, and you've either got them or you've had them, or if you don't know what they are, you're going to be at a risk for building them, and you don't want them. Paul says we need to use the right weapons to tear them down. If you have strongholds in your lives tonight, your life is evidence that you are not just in spiritual war, but you are very likely a spiritual POW at this moment, a prisoner of that war. Let me help you identify what a spiritual stronghold is. Paul goes on, as we read there from verses 5 and 6, to build the case for what this is. A spiritual stronghold has to do with the mindset that you are operating in, where certain areas of your life are more than what you know how to handle. A spiritual stronghold, now this is very important, or nothing else I'm going to do tonight is going to make sense, so lock in with me. A spiritual stronghold is an ungodly mindset. It is a wrong way of thinking. It is your mental perception of a sin struggle that you're in, or the circumstances that you're in right now. And here's how this looks if we look at verse 5 and 6. God has given us the truth, what he thinks about the sin, what he thinks about the circumstance. This is what the Word of God says. But in your mind, you have built a stronghold of wrong thinking where this area of your life is concerned. It's not godly. It is standing, as Paul would say, against the knowledge of God. You know you have a stronghold when you have mentally accepted that your sin issue is unchangeable, even though you know it goes against the will of God for your life. So, let me give you some examples so that we can all find ourselves on the same page. There are some obvious strongholds, wrong ways of thinking that I'm in this situation and it's always going to be like this, and I've tried to make it change and I can't fix it, so this is just how it is. And you think it's just going to be this way even though God Almighty is not okay with it, and you know it. So some of these things are obvious. Now listen, if you've got a drug issue, if you've got an alcohol issue, if you've got a nicotine issue, if you've got some sort of sexual perversion, if you're dealing with pornography, oh, those are the big things. We know that God isn't okay with those things, but sometimes we get to a place in our life where we just accept that that's just a part of it, when we know that God's not all right with it. If you've come to a place of accepting something like that, you have allowed yourself and the enemy to build a spiritual stronghold in your mind, an ungodly mindset toward that sin, that circumstance. But there's a lot of more strongholds that maybe we need to identify that aren't as obvious as some of those. How about some emotional strongholds like fear or jealousy or depression or despair or worry or unforgiveness or bitterness? Now I'm mowing in somebody else's yard. I'm just a worrier. I've always been that way. That's just how I am. I don't like it, but that's just me. That's my personality. Be anxious for nothing. That's what God said. Three times in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, "Do not worry." So if you've accepted that I'm just a worrier, and God says, I'm not okay with that, and you say, oh well, that's how I am, then you've accepted a stronghold in your life that the enemy can wage attacks on you from. Boy, I'm so sick of so-and-so. And I'm just mad, and this is just the way it's going to be. And that turns into bitterness. And that root, oh, I've been that person. That root of bitterness grows deep and strong. But they keep on acting the way they act. So I get the right to be bitter. And you know God's not okay with it. I'm in despair over a certain circumstance in my life. And you know God's not okay with you living that way. Some people have strongholds in their life because of the effects of their past, things that people did to them. There are people in this room right now that are dealing still today with a past issue of abuse in your life. With the effects of things like molestation and rape in your life. Someone very close to important to you died years ago, and you're still broken down with the grief of that today. Is that the stronghold? No. But it is wrong to assume this is always the way God's going to have me be. That's the wrong mindset. Not that you experience emotions, but that you become okay with them. And you've tried and you've tried. And you've prayed and you've prayed, and you've sought help, and you've done all you know how to do, and it's always going to be this way, and it's just the way I am, and I can't be free. Well, I've got good news. The weapons of our warfare are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. This is war. So I want to talk to you about the war that we're being bombarded with tonight. Just a few points that I think we could grab some truth in and some knowledge in that may change the way we see the way we're living, because if we don't break out of the same old mindsets, the enemy is going to continue to wear us out. Number one, know your enemy. Point number one, know your enemy. Listen to Ephesians chapter 6. It's very familiar, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in his power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against what? We wrestle. That word wrestle means to war, to battle, to fight. We do not war against flesh and blood. We do not fight against people. That person is not your enemy. Our enemy is very clear. It is the principalities, the powers, the rulers of this darkness, of this present age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Some people have been worn out for years and years because you're fighting hard and you're fighting the wrong enemy. You're fighting the wrong enemy. Your enemy is not anything in this world. It says our enemy operates in heavenly places. Don't be confused by that. It doesn't mean your enemy's in heaven. The concept of heavenly places is the spiritual realm. It is the realm that is so real, more real than this physical world we are in. And all the, I wish we could see all the strings that are attached to this physical world that are being manipulated by the spiritual world on the outside. Because the things that happen here are being influenced by what's happening there. It's very real all the time. We can stick our heads in the sand and try to ignore it. But what's going on in the heavenly realms will determine what happens here. And you can hide your eyes to it. But like the poet said, I forgot what the poet said. It was going to be great. Hold on. I'll get it. Life's dim windows of the soul. Your eyes, life's dim windows of the soul, distorts the heavens from pole to pole and will cause you to believe a lie when you see with and not through the eye. What's he talking about? If all you see is what you can see and the circumstances and the problems going on around you, then honey, you ain't seeing all there is to be seen. Because that which we cannot see with our physical eyes is determining and directing what's wearing you out in your life. There is an enemy that's pulling the strings. And if all we're looking at is flesh and blood, we are missing the battle. Anything in this world is not your enemy. Anything you see, smell, hear, touch, taste, or feel is not your enemy. The drug is not your enemy. The drink is not your enemy. It's not the website. It's not the emotion. It's not another person. Your enemy is not even the stronghold that you're struggling with. Your enemy is the army of darkness that hates your guts, wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. Fallen angels, very real. You will never win this fight if you're fighting the wrong foe. A few years ago, my father was going in and out of the emergency room, and he'll be here tomorrow night to preach. You're going to get a chance to meet him. He was going in and out of the emergency room with cardiac symptoms, looked and felt like a heart attack. And they would do the heart workup and send him home. And they do the heart workup and it'd be negative again, they send him home. Finally, the third time they go in and was like, look, can somebody do something else besides draw the blood and take the EKG? So they scheduled him for a heart cath. Okay? Heart cath results come in the next day. And it was amazing the different reports that different doctors gave. One guy said he had severe coronary artery disease. That means your heart is shot. The cardiologist came in and said, everything looks pretty good. You just got one artery, coronary artery, that's a little bit of an issue, and it's kind of bent funny, and I can't get a stent in there, so don't worry about it. It's not in a bad place. We're going to put you on the medicines, and we'll manage this, and we'll monitor this, and don't worry about it. So they put him on 6 new medicines and discharged him home. And I called him that day, and I said, hey, do you have a follow-up visit with the cardiologist? Nope. I said, they put you on 6 new medicines and didn't give you a follow-up visit? Nope. Meanwhile, a few days later, he's passing out in the bathroom, passing out, trying to... I said, phooey on this. And I got him an appointment with a cardiologist out of town. And he went to that cardiologist, and he said, well, who did your heart workup? And he said, Texarkana. He said, oh, I'll do my own stuff. That's a different sermon. He did a brand new heart cath, came in to give results and said, Mr. Markham, I've called in every cardiologist in our group. We've looked at your heart. Your heart's fine. You've got the heart of someone half your age. They sent him to the gastro doctor and they took his gallbladder out. Fixed. Right? See what happens when you're fighting the wrong foe? You wear yourself out taking medicine you don't need, passing out in this life trying to do it. Meanwhile, the real aggravator's over here wearing you out, and you don't even know he's in the room. Know your enemy. Secondly, know your battlefield. This may be the most important part of this night. You need to listen to what I'm about to share with you as I preach it to myself. Know your battlefield. A stronghold is an ungodly mindset. A stronghold is a wrong way of thinking. Your enemy's primary objective, I'm going to tell on him, I'm going to expose him right here. The number one thing that the enemy that's operating in the spiritual realm would love to do to you tonight, if he's not already got you in that place, is to annex territory in the field of your mind, to have an influence over your thought life. Well, that doesn't sound like a big deal. I'm about to show you how that works. Let me say it again. This is vastly important. I want you to hear me so that you can start fighting correctly. What the enemy wants more than anything else is to own control of your thoughts. That's what he wants. Prove that to me with the scripture. That's a great thing for you to say. Here we go. Listen to this verse. Don't turn there. Listen. 2 Corinthians 11. Chapter 11, verse 3, here's what Paul says, but I fear, unless somehow, just as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul's talking to the Corinthian church. He said, I'm fearing for you. I'm worried that here's what's going to happen. The enemy is going to do to you exactly what the enemy did to Eve. He's going to sneak in under the radar, and with great craftiness, he's going to gain influence over your mind and deceive you into thinking wrongly. The enemy desires to deceive the way you think, to plant ungodly lines of thinking in your mind, just the way he did with Eve. Let me prove that to you in Genesis chapter 3. really quickly. I want you to just see it. Because this is the tactical desire of an enemy that's good at what they do. They want your thought life. Very familiar story. Listen from Genesis. Now the serpent was more cunning, that means clever, crafty, shrewd, than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said that you shall not eat of the tree of the garden?" This is where Eve made her mistake. Because as soon as he questioned God's word to her, she should have shut the door in his face. Not even taking the time to say, She should have slammed the door and walked away, taking every thought captive. But she left the door open, and she began to see the twisting of what he was doing. Verse 2 says, "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of any fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it.'" Did God ever say, don't touch it? Did God ever tell them, don't touch it? No, he said, in fact, take care of it. Just don't eat it. So she allows the enemy to come in craftily and begin to test and negotiate the word of God in her life. You see, a stronghold, like I said, is a thought process that stands up against the truth of God that you know. So he took the truth and he opens the door to question marks. She should have slammed the door shut and said, "I don't have time for that." But instead, she negotiated with it. She left the door open, and the next thing you see her do is give pretty good word and a little bit of a twist. 99% truth is a lie. So that's what she says, right? "You shall not eat of it," God said, "nor shall you touch it." That wasn't true. "Lest you die." Then Satan comes back and he says this, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." I find it extremely interesting that the very same thing that Satan did in heaven that caused war and got him thrown out is exactly what he baited Eve with that caused war in the garden and got them thrown out.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573. Or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.